All right, we're back. Second half hour of tonight's show. We thank Billy McMullen for joining us and talking football with his expertise, particularly on the receiving core. And as Frank said, Lars Tiffany coming up here shortly in addition to the ACC schedule.
All right, looking at the game on Saturday, Virginia travels to Durham. Duke is a 4.5-point favorite. Currently, they're 2-2 in the league. And considering the fact that other than their first game of the year against North Carolina Central, they had two pretty rotten offensive games. And that was to be expected because their presumed starting quarterback, a veteran,
got hurt, right?
Thomas Cirk, got hurt. And so he was unable to play. And then all of a sudden, this 38-point blowout of Notre Dame in South Bend, it's the kicker, the field goal kicker, believe it or not, that was his first made field goal, I believe, this season. Anyway.
Well, let's switch over to lacrosse real quick.
Hey, let's talk lacrosse. Lacrosse. All right. Tonight we have the new Virginia head lacrosse coach, Lars Tiffany, joining us. Last 10 years as a head coach at Brown, where he actually played under the leadership of none other than Dom Starcia, a former frequent guest on Who's Talking and certainly a good friend of Airshow. Lars had a 95-56 record at Brown. I know that made Coach Starcia happy. And, you know, deep down, I have to think Dom Starcia, in a way, has to be smiling that Lars Tiffany, one of his former players, is now got the reins at UVA, if in fact he could not still be the coach.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So we certainly seem to be in good hands. We met Coach Tiffany at a UVA function a few weeks ago. Very, very impressed with him. And Coach, thanks for joining us on Who's Talking tonight.
Hey, gentlemen, this is a real special opportunity. I really appreciate you getting me on. I just stepped out of the weight room. We're in the middle of a lift. We practiced today from 3:30 to 5:30. Now we've got an hour lift. And it's really wonderful to be on the show with you guys and to share my enthusiasm about the men of this program.
Well, talk a little bit about the player. Talk about the players, where you think the team is at this stage, and a little bit about your fall activities as you lead into the games as they begin next year.
Sure. We've spent the first 4 weeks in skill session phase, which is we only get 2 hours with each man during the skill session phase, but it's in a smaller group, trying to develop better lacrosse players at an individual level, trying to work with each man and his offensive shooting, his pass work, defensively, footwork, positioning. We feel like, in general, this team is very athletic. We're a good-sized team. Dama Starcia and his staff recruited really good athletes. I think what we need to do is take to the next level is the skill level. There are certainly some really skilled players here. But as a team, I think that's the big focus right now is how can we raise the level of skill. The heart, the will is here. Really enjoy the it's almost a professional approach to their work on the field and their athleticism. And we're just going to make them a little bit better lacrosse player.
Well, you know, Lars, this is Frank, and thank you for joining us tonight. It's exciting, I think, that you were able to bring your two lead assistants, Sean Kerwin and Kip Turner. Kip Turner being a former UVA goalie who played on a national championship team, also a team that won the ACC tournament. Your fast break offense strategy, I've heard it referred to many times as being unique. What makes it unique?
Well, it's a product of what Sean Kerwin, our head offensive coordinator, what he experienced both as a player and as a coach at Tufts University Division III school. Tufts has won 3 national championships in recent years and has been obliterating the record books in terms of goals scored. And what makes it unique is the constant coming at the defense every way possible. We want that opposing defensive coordinator uncomfortable for the entire 60 minutes, plus halftime, plus pregame, and everything after the game, having nightmares about we never let you rest. And so we'll attack in the transition like most teams do. But we'll attack while we're subbing. And then certainly as soon as it's 66, somewhat settled, but we don't really call it settled, we're coming at you right away. So every second the defense has to be on their toes because we don't let them relax. We do some things a little different the way we attack the field. And we set a lot of picks, even in transition. Most teams will play the two-man pick and roll like basketball in the settled, but we do it in unsettled to get the defense when they're not used to that type of action. Some coaches would say, no, keep it spread when you've got the advantage. Spread the defense out if we have a 3-on-2 or 4-on-3. We'll actually create some seal slips from that and really get some good opportunities, or at least make the opposing defense work on it all week and waste a lot of time working on it.
Coach, I want to jump ahead to something that looks to be very exciting. I see that on Saturday, October the 8th, you'll be bringing the men's lacrosse team from UVA down to Richmond for a little practice and scrimmage down here as guests of the Geronimo Lacrosse Club. Talk a little bit about this and what do you hope to develop while you're here in Richmond?
Yeah, well, that idea was actually born at the UVA Club meeting in Richmond over there in Glen Ellen. It's something I'd had in the back of my mind, and somebody in the crowd asked a question, and it might have been Chuck White, and he asked a question about, you know, how about Richmond and Richmond recruiting, mm-hmm. and I started answering, not knowing I really knew what I was saying, if it was legal or not anymore by NCAA rules. But I said, hey, I'd love to take the team on the road in the state of Virginia, you know, and I know it used to be legal. I found out, went home back here to Charlottesville, and I found out it still is legal. So it's this idea of, it's in some sense, it's just another practice.
Right.
But it's an idea that, hey, we're a state school. We want to win the state of Virginia in recruiting. Let's get more and more people exposed to our brand of lacrosse, our style of play, and the university. And so we can take the show on the road. So Saturday, October 8th, instead of just having a two-hour practice here in Charlottesville, we'll jump on the bus, drive over, and spend our 2 hours over there. And it'll be mostly a normal practice, probably scrimmage a little bit more because it does feel a little bit like we're entertaining a crowd. But for the most part, it'll be a high-paced, intense practice that we normally run right here.
Coach, I understand that it's going to be from 1 to 3 p.m. at the collegiate schools on the Grover Jones Field. And there'll be opportunities for folks to sign autographs and meet the players and yourself. And I think it's great that you guys are coming down here. And I know that the lacrosse community here in Richmond, which is very sizable, will love this. It's, again, Saturday, October the 8th from 1 to 3 at the collegiate schools. And thank goodness the guys over there at Geronimo Lacrosse hatched this idea with you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad they planted that seed. And I'm really excited about it, and it's easy. It's not, you know, sometimes you get asked some tough things. This is an easy one. You know, let's take the show on the road to the Capitol, right down, hour and 15 minutes down the road, and let's spend some time with everybody.
Just a quick question. I know the football coaches once in a while do clinics around the state. Is that something you ever consider doing?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely something, you know, my role model in that phase has been Jim Harbaugh. As the NCAA keeps flip-flopping on what they're doing with these clinics, you know, off campus, you know, right now it's legal. And Jim Harbaugh ran 40 clinics in 22 days this summer. Of course, he has access to a jet, but I'm really intrigued with that idea. You know, just grab the coaches and, you know, during the times it's permissible by NCAA rule, and spend some time, you know, in different communities, especially in Virginia. And what shocked me when I learned about this from the Michigan lacrosse coach who did a few with the Michigan football staff, it's free. I was like, really? Yeah, he says free. You know, or $10 if you give away a T-shirt. You got to charge something if you give something away. So I was like, that's brilliant by Harbaugh. He is branding his sport and his university, you know.
Yes.
And I'm motivated to do the same.
Well, I think that is fantastic. We've got one more question for you. I'll let you get back to the weightlifting and the team. Coach, the Wahoos are coming off a couple of lean years, but it wasn't many years ago that Virginia won the NCAA title back there, I guess in 2011. And, you know, there was the ironical thing about that particular game was Dom used a zone defense for much of that game, and they used a very, very much precise perimeter passing, and they eventually carved up Maryland. But talk about what you think ultimately has got to happen over the next couple of years to get Virginia back into the Final Four.
Well, it's it's not a complete overhaul. We don't have to turn around the battleship, you know, 180 degrees here. There are good athletes here. There are good lacrosse players here. Dom Starrs and his staff did a phenomenal job over the 24 years of his time here recruiting really good lacrosse players. Now, you know, it's just time to put in our system. It's going to take a year or two. For example, we just got off the practice field. And we're introducing these drills. We're trying to create a high-paced, high-tempo practice, and yet we have to stop for a couple minutes because, like, oh, new terminology, new drill. And it's like, oh, we got to do it. You know, you got to put it in right the first time. But, you know, so it's going to take a year or two to adapt to the system. I tell you what, though, the men are all in. We're really impressed, right? Even the seniors, the fourth years, they're really enjoying the tempo, the pace, and I love them that they're, you know, if we'd say jump, they're saying how high right now. But yeah, I just see it's a couple years and figuring out some certain skill positions where we may be a little thin right now, but we got to work on that, and that's Kip Turner's job and a goal, and then working with our face-off men.
Well, Coach, we wish you nothing but the best, and we'll clearly have you back on in the spring when we get into the actual regular season. But we're glad you're at UVA. I think it's a great hire, and we're looking forward to good days ahead for Virginia Lacrosse.
Well, I'm looking forward to my own personal good days ahead, because being associated with this university is phenomenal. You know, it was a big football win for Bronco and his men on Saturday. That's just going to get things started here. You know, I'm learning so much from these other coaches here at UVA. You know, I walk down the hallway and I just see national championship trophies, you know, littered in offices. It's an amazing community to be part of, and I'm going to be the better man for being a part of UVA.
I'll warn you, Brian Boland is going to tease the heck out of you. Brace yourself.
Okay.
Well, Coach, we have so enjoyed your visit, and thank you for carving out a few minutes, and we'll give you a month's notice before next spring so you can get everything cleared with media relations, and we're back in everybody's good graces. But thank you so much.
You're welcome. Let's get a W this weekend down there in Durham.
There you go. All right.
Sounds
thank
good.
You. All right. That was Coach Lars Tiffany, UVA men's lacrosse coach, and we've got the Ortho Virginia injury report coming up now, and we're looking to catch up with Dr. Andrew Bogle. Sadly, last Friday, Tim Harris, the cornerback of Verona High School product, had shoulder surgery, I believe, last Friday, and he is out for the season. We know that Malcolm Cook, the outside linebacker, is out for the season with a medical condition. The UVA Media Relations has not, and the coach could not tell us what that is just yet. We know that Sean Carl, the offensive guard, has a back problem, and he has been ruled out for the rest of the season. And Chris Brooks, who I believe is a redshirt freshman, he does not have a number yet, but he's had an ongoing issue. We don't know what the reason is, but he is out for the season. So those four players are going to miss the rest of this season for UVA. Now, let's welcome Dr. Andrew Bogle from Ortho Virginia. Are you there, doctor?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes,
so
sir.
Good. First off, we want to tip our hat to you and all your spider buddies. I know you were jumping up and down, screaming and hollering and shooting off fireworks a couple of weeks ago. And so we're going to get that out of the way right now.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to say that I'm proud of my spider. So that was certainly an exciting day for us.
Well, as I often said, if sometimes you have to be a gracious loser, you know. So,
tip of the hat. Hey,
we like the spiders. We have a lot of admiration. My wife is on the faculty of the University of Richmond, so I have mixed feelings, and I think I've got six UR degrees in the family between son-in-law, son, and daughter. So,
I admire Coach Rocco. He's a terrific guy. I just wish I wish that game had not happened this past start of the season, unfortunately.
Wish they'd had their bad game in Charlottesville, not at Stony Brook.
There you go.
Yeah, talk about needing to be a gracious loser. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, let's run down through some of the injuries that occurred on Saturday during Virginia's game against Central Michigan. Number 21, Juan Thornhill, got injured on the opening kickoff, and it was hard to tell what happened to Juan. He's the starting cornerback, so essentially a major blow to the Cavaliers, and we have to hope that he recovers. We don't know the injury yet. Eric Gallen, the outside linebacker, number 29, got hurt. He looked like he twisted his knee. He was helped off the field, and then he walked off on crutches to the locker room and did not return. I think maybe the most surprising thing was Benkert, the starting quarterback, got roughed up at Connecticut. He got hit once hard, really hard, as he delivered a pass, and it was his non-throwing shoulder. And You know, Andrew, you know, as a specialist at Ortho Virginia, I know you see athletes that have, you know, this type of thing happen to them, to their non-serving or non-throwing shoulder. How do you help these folks diagnose it, and then how do you help them with rehab and recovery?
Well, you know, particularly when quarterbacks or anybody who's carrying the ball, they end up landing on a shoulder, throwing or otherwise, you got to make sure the AC sprain and the clavicle fracture are the things that you look at more commonly than not. And thankfully, with a lot of these injuries, you know, you can get back to playing pretty quickly after an AC injury, as long as it doesn't meet certain very severe criteria. You know, but anytime you're dealing with an athlete going back to a contact sport, you want them to be safe out there. So anyone who's, if you're playing with something and you're clearly favoring it, then that's a dangerous situation. You know, you think about RG3 so many years ago, everybody in retrospect knows that, gosh, that guy shouldn't have been out there. And that's a good way to think about protecting athletes. When they're ready to go, when they're not favoring something, that's when they should be out there again.
Well, you know, let's pivot back to Tim Harris, the cornerback. You know, a senior from Verona. He had shoulder surgery last Friday, and obviously they decided that he had to have surgery and he was going to miss the rest of the season. So in that situation, it must have been more than a separation. What could that injury possibly have been?
Well, in a contact athlete, the things you worry about more commonly in young athletes would be a labral tear as opposed to a rotator cuff, although certainly if you had a certain type of dislocation, you could have a rotator cuff. But the labrum, which is the stabilizing structure in the shoulder that prevents from dislocation, is often what would require kind of a more urgent surgery in a contact athlete. In AC sprains, unless they're grade 4 generally, which is very severe with some displacement of the bones, those can be treated conservatively and not require surgery. So I would bet it's more of a labral injury. Sometimes it can be a fracture that could cause a surgery within a short amount of time.
And what's the length of recovery from that? He's out for the season, but is he going to be in rehab for a number of weeks or months or what?
Well, sure. Anytime you immobilize the shoulder, you're going to have extensive therapy because shoulders like to move. And if you have to immobilize them after a surgery, you need therapy to get that motion back. So if it's a fracture, that's probably the best case scenario because that's kind of 2 to 3 months, whereas if you had to do a reconstructive procedure on the soft tissues like the labrum or the rotator cuff, you're talking more like 6 months or beyond that before you can even start getting back to normal exercises for that.
Well, you know what? We have to all hope that Tim Harris can make a speedy recovery because I know that young man.
This is not a question for, is he eligible for a medical redshirt or has he already played
too
much? Well,
he may have played too much.
Okay.
But they have hardship waivers and they have to apply and their coach and the medical staff have to fight for him. And let's hope so because clearly Harris's career hinged any chance of playing in the pros.
He needs
depended upon
year.
This season that he was supposed to be starting this year. So, anyhow, that's a tough break for that young man. Andrew, I know you're going to be watching the Spiders in the weeks ahead, as well as the Wahoos.
Absolutely.
Have you sort of picked out a game that you're really excited about? Maybe JMU or someone.
Well, I try to get to all the games if I'm not working on the weekends, but I think the JMU game at home is circled on everyone's calendar. I was at that game at game day last year, and that was. Pretty exciting experience for the Spiders, so hopefully we can keep it going. But the conference is tough, so we'll see.
It's a tough conference, and I know this is Who's Talking, not Spider Talk, but I think Spiders have a heck of a team, and they're prepared for a deep run into the NCAA playoffs. So good luck to them, and Dr. Bogle, we thank you and your colleagues for your support of Who's Talking, and we thank you for your time this evening.
Absolutely. Good luck to the Wahoos as well. It's nice to see a win this week, so. All right. Well, take care.
All right. Thank you. Dr. Andrew Bogle of Ortho Virginia. We'll go to our final break. We'll come back. Got some ACC football and other odds and ends to clean up when we return. Who's Talking? We'll be back after these messages.